Good evening. I'm broadcasting live. July 2nd, 2016. Tonight's quote. Tonight's quote is about the Brahma Viharas. The Brahma Viharas, of course, are one of the more well-known Buddhist meditation practices besides insight meditation. Sometimes even more so than insight meditation. People sometimes equate or associate Buddhism more with compassion, love, than they do with insight. And with good reason, there are forms of Buddhism that focus more on the Brahma Viharas, especially compassion. Compassion is considered to be key to Mahayana Buddhism because it's key to becoming a Buddha. Buddha doesn't just wish for their own enlightenment because of their strong compassion. They wish for all beings to become enlightened. But in Theravada Buddhism, the four Brahma Viharas are what one might call a supportive meditation, or auxiliary, if you want to use a technical term. Meaning they're not the main, but they support one's main practice. They support the practice of insight meditation. They can also be used as a base to gain great concentration. So you could practice metta for on its own for some time to focus the mind. Karuna, mudita, upeka. You could practice these four on their own. But the best use they have and the most common use is as a supportive meditation, meaning they keep your mind from getting off track. If you're angry, metta helps you avoid being angry at someone. If you're cruel or irritable, then compassion helps you overcome that. If you're jealous, stingy, then joy, sympathetic joy, appreciation. They call mudita. It helps you overcome that. And if you're partial or attached, if you care too much about others such that it makes you worried or anxious or upset when they are not as you expect them to be, then upeka helps you with that. Equanimity. But these are part of a larger set of four meditations that are called the Araka Kamatana, the protective meditations. They protect your practice. And the four are Buddha Nusati, Asubha Nusati, Metta Nusati, and Marana Nusati. Maybe not in that order. Buddha Nusati, mindfulness of the Buddha. Thinking about the Buddha or reflecting on the Buddha. This is a good supportive meditation. These four are like when you're growing a small tree, you use wooden supports to keep it up. Otherwise, it gets blown over in the wind. So this support, it's not essential, but it's not the tree itself. But it keeps the tree from dying, from being destroyed, from falling. Same way these meditations help our main meditation. So Buddha Nusati, thinking about the Buddha, helps us cultivate confidence, reassurance. When we feel some kind of unsure about ourselves or our ability, it gives us confidence. We think about the Buddha, what he had to do, what he went through as an example. Having role models, having an example. This is why it's great to be in a meditation center. You see other people meditating. Makes you want to meditate. Today we have two new meditators coming a couple of days after I arrived. We have Corey and Michelle. Michelle is an old meditator. She's been meditating with me since she was five. Many, many years ago, her mother brought her and her sister to meditate here in Canada. Not with me, with another teacher, but we meditated together. And Corey's been following me on the internet, but we've just met for the first time. So yes, thinking about the Buddha is one way of accomplishing this. When you have a Buddha image and you reflect on his great qualities that you're aspiring to some extent. Buddha lucidity. So you sit there and say Buddho, Buddho, thinking about the Buddha. Dhamma, arahang, arahang, all the qualities of the Buddha. Then the second one is asubha lucidity. Asubha means not beautiful. So asubha is reflecting on the not beautiful aspects of the body. And this one helps us in times when we have great lust. A great lust for the body, for sexual desire, that kind of thing. Asubha helps you overcome that. As you look at the body, I'm not saying this is awful, this is disgusting, but you start to see how disgusting it is, how unpleasant it actually is, how there's nothing in here that is actually proper. The desire for the human body is an illusion. It's based on the illusion of beauty. There's nothing beautiful. So you take the body apart into pieces. Well, is the hair beautiful? Oh yeah, of course, hair is beautiful. So then you meditate on it. You say, hair, hair, hair. And you study about it, and you think about it, and you start to see that hair is actually quite disgusting. It's greasy and smelly, and it's feeding off of the blood and the oil of the scalp. It's stuck in the scalp like rice. Those of us studying the Visuddhimagga, those of you studying it with me, remember the description of the 32 parts of the body. It's quite vivid. And you go through the parts of the body, the hair, the skin, the nails, the teeth, the hair, the body hair, the nails, the teeth, the skin, and all the inner parts as well, the flesh and the blood and the... And so you just repeat to yourself, hair, hair, skin, skin, that kind of thing. The third meditation is metta. Of these four Brahmaviharas, metta is singled out as useful. Metta helps us overcome anger. As we said, when we're upset at someone, when we have some kind of conflict with another person, it's a great source of stress and it's a hindrance in our practice, obviously. So of course being mindful is the best way to cure all of these, but when they're extreme and when we're just not able to shake them, it gives us a little boost. Practicing in this case love gives us a boost to help us deal with it. So you say, may that person be happy. Just as I want to be happy, may they be happy as well. May they be free from suffering, etc. And the fourth one is marana nusati. So marana is for when you're lazy. This is why the Buddha said it's good to meditate on death daily. Every day think about death. In fact, you should all the time be thinking about death. And in fact, vipassana is a way of thinking about death. So in an ultimate sense, we're born and die every moment. So vipassana is seeing us die, seeing the death of the being, and realizing that there is no real stability, or there is no constant entity And but so in general, we think about our deaths. We think about physical death. This life is uncertain. I am going to die one day. That is certain. Duvang me jivitang duvang maranang jivitang aniyatang maranang niyatang. Life is uncertain. Death is certain. Death is the end of life for every being. It comes to us all. Thinking about that helps give you a sense of urgency, because when you realize that if you die unprepared, it has a great impact on what comes next. Your ability, your clarity of mind, your purity of mind. Death is the end of everything. All these things that I depend upon, that I care for, I can't take them with me when I die. So, I mean, that probably only works for people who believe in an afterlife. But even still, if you think this is it, you know, well, then might as well make the best of it, the most of it. If you think that when we die it's death, then, well, still, best to become the best person you can. Do the best you can if this is the only chance you've got. Just seems sensible. Anyway, not too much to talk about there. You can read through the Vibhanga in this case. The Vibhanga is just the part of the Abhidhamma. Talks about the four Brahmaviharas. It's also in the Visuddhimagga. There's a really good section on the four Brahmaviharas based on the Vibhanga, based on the Abhidhamma. So, questions. Fernando asks, how was the meeting with my teacher? It was brief. He's very busy. But we caught him, as we always do, and took some pictures, though I haven't gotten any of the pictures yet, and gave him a whole bunch of robes again, 30-some robe sets for him to give away to others. And he expressed his appreciation more for the fact that I was going to Sri Lanka than anything, curiously. He likes the idea of helping out Sri Lankan Buddhism. It was kind of just something that piqued his interest and has before, because he's been to Sri Lanka and because of the, I guess, a sense of gratitude is maybe the right thing to say, or just a sense of appreciation for Sri Lanka and a sort of a responsibility to care for Buddhism there as well. So he was happy to hear that I was going to teach there. Didn't say too much. He expressed appreciation for the new meditation center, but he already knew about it, so it wasn't all that much talk. Yeah. Honestly, going to Asia was not probably all it was meant to be or cut out to be. I mean, as I said before, I wasn't totally sold on the idea of going in the first place. So maybe I downplayed my expectations. But it was just another trip. Teaching in Sri Lanka was nice. We had one really good session at a meditation center there. A whole bunch of people came out and they were surprised. Because I'm not there, and because they don't know who I am really, they're surprised at the things I say, sort of shocked at this, at the defense of this meditation technique, because a lot of them have turned against it. It's become a sort of a rebel meditation, I guess. People believing that anapanasati, mindfulness of the breath at the nose, is the most orthodox meditation practice, and so they concentrate on that. So having to describe this meditation, wherever I went, I said, do you know who I am? Are you sure you want me to come and talk? Because of course last time I went I had these problems. I would go places and then they would be surprised at what I was saying, and not in a happy way. There was one place the translator actually refused to translate because He didn't agree with what I said. It was pretty awful. Thank you all for meditating. It's good to see green here. Green means that you guys have actually been meditating. I mean, yes, logging your meditation is not necessary. It's not like it actually means anything. And no, you don't have to do it because it makes me feel good. But if you don't, then we start to get... I mean, as I said before, it gives me an excuse to weed out sort of speculative questions, because I can say, ah, you're an orange. So newcomers show up, they don't meditate, and they start asking crazy questions. You can sort of dismiss them. And it would focus our questions because we've been meditating. You know, I don't mind if you were meditating earlier in the day and you just come and click on it later, like click on it now. I suppose it's not ideal, but ideal is we do some meditation before. I mean, I guess the biggest thing is here we're coming together to talk about the Dhamma. So before we do that, we should meditate. So if you're saying, well, I'm not meditating right before, but I'm meditating earlier, well, part of the point is to meditate, you know, just before we talk, so that our minds are in the right place. I think that's reasonable. But as far as logging it, I mean, it allows me to make sure that... No, I mean, the big point of this site, as the site, is to provide encouragement. If you don't find that this is encouraging you to meditate, the fact that you've got to actually log it and commit to it, then don't use it, by all means. But the whole point here was to encourage people to meditate. I think some people do find that the site helps them, I assume. If not, well, we can just do away with it. So no other questions? For those of you joining us on YouTube and last night as well, the questions and stuff is going on at our own website at meditation.sirimangalo.org. And usually someone's kind enough to put that in the comment section of the YouTube video. We broadcast, hopefully every night, usually every night. But I guess there's no questions tonight. I know I'm just recently back. All right then, have a good night everyone. See you all tomorrow.